The thing is, if you're the president and you don't say a word, and all of a sudden that appears in the sky, and everybody's going to look at it and go, oh my God. And at that point, people are going to go, wow, how did something that big get that close to Earth without us being told? And in that moment, as I was married to a woman from Denmark once, and she used to use this phrase a lot, the penny drops. At that point, people are going to go, oh yeah, the government's been lying to us all along. And at that point, you've lost it. You can't control anybody or anything, because everybody's going to think anything you say is a lie. So for that reason, and that reason alone, he has to announce it. Now, there's a second reason that he has to announce it. And the second reason is, you see what happens with the disasters. I mean, here we have, I noticed, I watch all the New York stations because I'm grandfathered into DirecTV, and I chose, at the time, I couldn't get local stations, so I chose New York and L.A. So I get all the New York stations, and I noticed a definite turn this afternoon of anger. I mean, people are really angry. 4 days without water, without food, without light, without gas, and they're very, very, very unhappy. They're sitting there in houses full of water in the basement, and they're just breathing mold. Things are nasty. And these grocery stores, all the food got swept to the back of the store, and they just shoveled it out into dumpsters, and people are just breaking the dumpsters open and eating perfectly, really good food. I mean, okay, the meat and the vegetables aren't going to be any good, but you can't tell me a bottle of olive oil got damaged or a can of tomato soup. So they're eating out of dumpsters. And now we're about to have a cold wave, and I'm predicting a huge amount of anger is going to come out in the next few days, because these people are saying, nobody comes, nobody brings anything, we're on our own, we can't go anywhere. So you've got this situation where if all of a sudden Planet X becomes visible, excuse me, becomes visible, and people start rioting, look, it's the end of the world. I knew it. This is, you know, it's the apocalypse. We've got to do something. And they get the guns and they start shooting and looting and rioting and raping and robbing and God knows what all. Then the president has to declare martial law. So that's not going to work out too well, because my prediction is nobody in the United States is going to put up with martial law for more than a very, very short time. And I'm thinking less than a week. So the only choice he has is to first announce that it's there. Of course, it's going to be a baby food type of plain announcement. There's a planet in between the Earth and the Sun. Don't worry about it, but this has caused some of the weather aberrations we've had, and it's causing the Earth to wobble. But you just stay at your job. Don't leave your work. Just continue as before. And if anything's going to happen, we'll let you know. So don't worry about it, but I just want you to know, if you see something in the sky, that's what it is. Now, if he does that, then once things get worse, which I can guarantee you they're about to get worse, once things get worse, then he's going to say, well, I'm declaring a national emergency, because if any looting starts, everybody's going to say, well, that's just plain wrong. And who he's speaking directly to, in my opinion, is the militia, because there's a very active patriot movement and militia movement in this country. And if he just declares martial law, the patriot movement's going to go, see, we knew it was coming, get the guns, get the bullets. But if he says there's a planet between the Earth and the Sun, and then he says it's a national emergency, even the patriot movement is going to say, well, it's not the president's fault. And it is wrong to loot and riot, and we should be supporting the cessation of this kind of civil disorder so that we can keep our society together. So,
well, here's a problem.
Those are important reasons, Kevin.
Well, they are. And it sounds, Gordon, very reasonable and very rational. And that's the problem, because you're talking about a politician.
Well, I can't control them. I don't know about you.
Yeah, well, what's reasonable and rational out amongst, shall we say, the common man, very, very rarely breaks through the manure belt around Washington, D.C.
Exactly. And let me tell you, it's not easy, because this cover-up didn't just happen. Every single president since 1947 has known about this and covered it up. And there's a group intent on making sure it's never revealed. So this isn't just something that you could idly, you know, push a button and say, well, I'm going to make an announcement. I mean, as that columnist in Boston, Howie Carr, says, a person who does something like that's not going to be down for breakfast the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened is, first, there had to be a group that wanted to make the announcement. And that's the group of which Obama is the leader. There is a group that has always never wanted there to be an announcement. And partially that's because they feel that they're the elite and they want all the expendable people to be expended. And they don't want to give anybody any fair warning. Because, look, if we announced it 60 years ago, we could have built brand new cities in Kansas and Nebraska, which were virtually empty until the tar sands, and still partially are completely empty. We could have built, and they're safe, we could have built places for people to go, we could have planned it, we could have saved every single person. But at this late stage, if the president were going to announce it, that means it's got to be soon, because otherwise, they'd wait another 10 years. So
why didn't he announce it at the UN?
Okay, well, that was not the first attempt. What happened is, and it was interesting, because I got a call tipping me off, and this was a really interesting day, and I have no idea if it's a connection or not, but it's a memorable day. I got a call tipping me off that Obama was in the process of rounding up and confining and arresting, never to see daylight again, the people who were against the announcement, the major forces, and that in some cases they were being hunted down with helicopters. In some cases they were caught by surprise at their home, but in other cases the people ran out into the woods and tried to escape. And I was being told that, and the reason why I won't forget that is because all morning for 4 hours, my wife and I heard this helicopter from our mountaintop. And my wife actually on her own wanted to do it. And I said, yeah, go find out what the hell that is, because we're on the ocean. So we have the Coast Guard. We've got rich people with private helicopters. We've got the life flight ambulance. So there's a lot of reasons to have a helicopter. Some rich people build houses by using helicopters to fly in steel girders and things like that. So, you know, we wondered, like, what in the hell is this going on? Because it kept going up and down, and it seemed like it was close, but we couldn't see it. And she actually went for a drive for an hour and still couldn't see it. And when she got back, it was still going on. Now, the interesting thing is that where I live is where all the spies and ex-secretaries of defense and people like that all retire to, because they figure it's a nice, safe area, the coast of Maine. Have a little mansion, put up a gate, and don't let anybody in, and continue your wealthy lifestyle. So we never did it. We called the fire department. We called the police. We called all the convenience stores. We asked people that we saw. We called the newspapers. We asked, what was this helicopter? And I asked contractors. And I never got an answer as to what that helicopter was doing or where it was doing it. But I always wondered, was that one of the people they were trying to hunt down and keep from being against this announcement?
All right, so let me ask you this. This call that you got telling you that this was going on, is this from someone that's on the inside and would know?
This is from somebody who's on the outside but uses what you call the telepathy to be in contact with what's going on.
Well, you know, this sounds very similar to the same kind of thing that was being talked about by Wilcox.
You don't believe in anything, so I don't necessarily you to believe that. But I do want to continue with the process. This was in August, so supposedly he was going to announce it the first weekend in September. But Benghazi, Libya happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been unseemly to disregard the deaths of four Americans and start talking about a planet, who knows how he was going to term it, a rogue planet in the, but anyway.
Okay, well, look, we have to take a break. Okay. But we'll pick up, remember where you are, and the break interrupted you, so just pick up where you were and move forward.
Exactly. So the incident in Benghazi, Libya, took all the news. But in the background, you've got to understand that the president has never made a electronic communication with any of the other leaders of the world about Planet X. But he's constantly been in verbal communication with them in person.
How do we know that? How do we know that he's been in touch with them in person talking about this?
Well, they've had all kinds of strange meetings, like where he went to Indonesia for apparently no reason at all and ended up leaving a Navy ship there. The reason why is because there is still, to this day, no nation in the world has agreed to take the survivors or the immigrants of any other nation. And the Indonesian government asked if the United States would take Indonesians, and thinking that, of course, him having at least part Indonesian, that he would be in favor of that. And he said no, but he offered to leave a Navy ship there because of the sinking of Jakarta, Indonesia, and the surrounding islands in Malaysia. Parts of Indonesia have gone down 80 feet below sea level, 80 feet. So, and that's exactly as the Zetas said that it would happen. So we left a Navy ship there in case China agrees to take Indonesians, which let me just predict right now, they're not going to, because who's going to be the first one in the world to say, well, if something big happens, we'll take the survivors, they're welcome here. Nobody wants the survivors, because they're all going to be in the same situation. So, but anyway, the point is, he's been in contact with all these people, and they said, well, and not only world leaders, but bankers. And bankers are going, my God, you can't make this announcement during the week. What if the stock market tanks? What if there's a run on the banks? You've got to do it on a Saturday morning, on a Saturday or a Sunday. So it was like, with his advisors, he's like, okay, that makes sense. So we'll announce it on a Saturday or Sunday. So the first Saturday or Sunday, he had the Benghazi incident to handle. So the second thing was all the world leaders that are our allies, like the leaders of the UK and Australia and Germany and France and just, you know, Russia, China, everybody's putting in their two cents, saying, well, you can't say this, you can't say that. Now, the interesting thing was that Obama was not going to just get up and speak freely. He wasn't going to just sit in his wing chair next to the fireplace at the White House, because he's well known to not be very good without a teleprompter. And they're scared to death he's going to say too much. And if he says too much, he's going to be in deep trouble. So they wrote a script, and they approved it. So they sent it out to all the allies, and they said, this is what we're planning on saying. Well, the second week, all the allies said, my God, man, you can't say this, you have to say that. And people like Australia said, well, we want you to say it early in the day, because if you say it late at night, then the first place to wake up to that news is going to be Australia, and we're not going to know what to say. We want to see you get pestered by the press corps and answer all the questions from the public yourself, so we know what to say by the time it gets to us. So then they're like, oh, okay, so that's what we'll do. But then they tried to do it using the Emergency Broadcast Network. Now, that's an interesting thing. It started years ago, for those of you who are old enough. It started as the Connell Rad broadcast, and it was going to be after World War II, in the Cold War. We were going to have a system whereby if there was a national emergency, the president could cut into all the airwaves. And I know that everybody has been sitting in front of a TV or a radio and heard this. This is the emergency broadcast system. Had this been an actual emergency, you would have been told to tune to a certain station, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been upgraded over the years. It's had different names. It's had different equipment. And finally, what they've got now, which most people are completely unaware of how this would work if it worked. There are 22,000 nodes. In other words, these nodes are considered to be media centers where a corporation owns several stations. So altogether, there are 22,000 nodes, and these nodes have this equipment that receives a certain signal and then interrupts the programming, cuts right in, and puts this black screen up with instructions. But the equipment in the White House is hand-wired because there's only one of those. So he went to announce, he pushed the button, and nothing happened. So they considered, well, you know, the person just doesn't know how to run it. So they kept asking this person that they had appointed to do it, to push the button to play the tape, and nothing happened. And so they had to arrest him, and they determined that he wasn't going to, because although they had captured and restrained the people, the Plan A people who didn't want the announcement, there was a secondary Plan B where there were, it had been infiltrated, and the system was basically, it wasn't going to happen. So they went through a search for the next week of who was screwing with it and what to do about them. And I guess some people were arrested, although this never made the news. And they started looking at the wiring in the instrument in the White House, and it was, all the wires were scrambled. Somebody took it apart and put it together incorrectly and intentionally. So the president couldn't even send the signal out if he wanted to send it out. So then they were deciding, well, we should have, what we should do is make, put it all on a on disks and send out two military men to each of the 22,000 stations and have them do it. But then the United Nations speech was coming up, and he hadn't announced it, and everybody thought, well, what's he going to do at the United Nations? Now, the interesting thing is, the weekend before, all the world's leaders had canceled, and you can go to it's whitehouse.gov, there's the president's schedule. The president's schedule was blank, and all the leaders of the world, it was in all the news that weekend. I forget which weekend it was, but I think it was the second weekend of September. Was all the leaders of the world canceled all their appointments. It's like everybody's calendar was blank, and they were sitting in their government offices waiting for this announcement, because then they were going to be pestered by the press. What does this mean? Well, everybody reads ZetaTalk. You know, the people that run ZetaTalk know who reads it, and the Pentagon reads it, the White House reads it, all the leaders of the world read it. So they weren't going to announce, well, go read about this in ZetaTalk, but you know, people aren't stupid. Well, some people are, but some aren't. The ones who aren't, it's going to take them a day or two to figure out when they start looking up Planet X, because that will easily be the name of it in the news. It's going to take them a day or two to look it up and find out, ZetaTalk's been talking about this since 1995. Maybe we should read ZetaTalk. So all the calendars were clear. Nobody's going anywhere. And then the UN speech. So everybody said, well, is he going to announce it at the UN? Because wouldn't that be a perfect place? All the leaders of the world are there. All the press is there. You've got to say, look, we've got all this horrible squabbling on the planet. Nobody's getting along. Maybe we should all work together to see, to protect ourselves and save ourselves. And it just seemed like it was the perfect time. But he didn't do it. So then came the first debate. Now, the first debate, Obama bombed terribly, as everybody agrees. I mean, even the Democrats, even CNN had a poll that Romney won that debate 67% to 25%. So even the people who are most favorable to the president agreed he bombed. And If you say he's an idiot, of course he should have bombed because he doesn't know what the hell he's doing and maybe he should get out of there. Well, okay, that's one explanation. And that's a fair interpretation of the facts. The other interpretation is, my God, this guy has something on his mind that he's totally preoccupied with. He's trying to get a message out and there's only him and a small group of people who want the public to know about it. And yet, he can't get it out. So, of course, he's been focusing on that. He wasn't focusing on the debate. He wasn't prepared.
Okay. So, now, you've given us a great many details. I mean, down to a guy that was running the emergency broadcast equipment at the White House and that all the wires were scrambled and the guy got arrested and all of that. You've given us a lot of details. Which you also have correctly stated that none of this is in the news. So how do you know about it?
From Nancy Leader and Zeta Talk.
Why do you have such confidence in information from Zeta Talk and from Nancy Leader?
Well, if you will recall on other shows, I've discussed the fact that I had... had my first experience on a saucer in 1988, and a friend of mine, a psychic, suggested that I never had a partner on my wavelength and I should ask the ETs to find me a partner. And I made up a list, and a year later I went out and met her, and that's my wife Janet, who's also been on your show.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been together, we just celebrated our 22nd anniversary, so we're into our 23rd year now. And she has contact with the Zetas, and she has dreams all the time of the future. She's sort of a white shaman. She is part Native American, but she looks Swedish and Scottish. So, anyway, and then there's my intuition. Now, I've always believed that your eternal soul is linked to your physical body through a little blue flame in your heart. So when I say something that's just plain information and you start flipping through pages in your mind to reference it, it doesn't have a value that it's true or it's not true. But if you ask your heart, because your heart is where your eternal soul is, and your eternal soul knows everything, you can tell instantly using your heart whether something's true or not. And I learned to do that a very long time ago. I was in my 20s, my late 20s, when I finally... I was trying to teach myself telepathy. I was trying to understand how to break through to the other side. I was trying to understand remote viewing, astral projection, all these things. I finally realized that through emotion, through feelings, you can know the truth of anything. So I've developed an ability when people say things where I get a reaction that I feel it's true or I feel it's not true. And so because of my wife's contact with the Zetas and my contact with extraterrestrials on my own and my knowledge about pole shift, we started lecturing about the future in 1990. Well, Nancy didn't start Zeta Talk till 1995. And I looked at it in 1995 and I said to Janet, I already know that, you know, and I never went back to it. And then around 2006, I said, you know, is anybody saying what we're saying? And I started going through various sources, and I found Zeta Talk, and I started reading it, and I went, oh, my God, they're saying exactly what I'm saying, but they're saying it in more detail. It's unbelievable. So I was pleased and startled and shocked, and so I started contributing and asking questions and being part of the whole Zeta Talk thing, which is not a cult. She doesn't make any money. Nancy Leader's a poor chicken farmer and a gardener retired in Wisconsin. There's no charge for any of this, and you've got 39,000 pages of questions from the public and answers telepathically given by unselfish Zetas. So if you start reading through this stuff, it's like a revelation. It's like mind-boggling. And just a simple thing like saying that Planet X is next to the sun, I've gone out and taken pictures of it. So where's the argument here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody's listening and they think, well, that's garbage. There's no such thing as extraterrestrials. There's no such thing as being telepathic.
We have to step away for a break, Gordon.
All right. you know, I'm not selling anything. I don't have a website. I'm not selling any books. I'm not selling recordings. I'm not making any money. All of this is through my own time and effort. And I realize that a lot of people aren't going to be ready for what I'm saying. So I can accept that, and that's fine with me. But there are some people who understand very clearly what I'm saying, and those people are the ones that I'm speaking to. Now, if you don't want to believe me, that's fair. I understand where you're coming from, and I can accept that, and it doesn't make me angry at all. In fact, it kind of makes me sad, but I get over it. Yeah, so I understand what your problem is with that concept, but there's a lot going on here. You see, the Council of Worlds has said that they are going to hold up the Earth changes until there's an announcement to the entire world. And many of the rich people, including the Rothschilds, have contacted Nancy Leader and said, "You're going to tell me right now when pole shift is so I can be ready for it." And she said over and over, "If I knew it, I probably would have already leaked it. And I don't know it. And the only way I'm ever going to be told when the date is when you put microphones from all the media of the world in front of me. Then the Zetas will tell me when the date is, and I will announce it to the whole world. And everyone will find out at the same time." So the Council of Worlds has said you are, and evidently she says, and I believe this, that they have spoken to the president directly and said, "You will announce this. And if you don't, we're going to make Planet X more visible. We're going to make world events and physical changes more dramatic. And we're going to make it to the point where you can't possibly ignore it. So you can either announce it now peacefully under your terms, or else we're going to create a situation where you will be totally embarrassed by events and you will lose control and there'll be nothing you can do about that." So, you know, you think, well, if you're the president, you can just do what you want. Well, you've got all these power groups that basically own you, so it's hard to do anything. If you do something wrong, maybe they're going to get rid of you. And then you've got these other people that are very concerned with the future of the whole planet and know that if pole shift comes, most, if not all, governments are going to collapse, religions are going to collapse, the economies are going to collapse, and it's going to be a very life or death situation. And people are going to discover that the things that they had worked their whole life for are not as important as the things that they had put off to the side. But you see it every single disaster. People go, "Well, I lost my boat, my house, my car, little Rover here and Jimmy and Annie survived, and my husband and I survived, so that's what's really important." And sometimes it takes losing everything you have to realize what's important. But this is a natural event that cannot be changed, combined with a spiritual lesson. And that's the way I see it. So, you know, the thought that at least the president's trying to announce it. But then you got this situation where Obama he loses the first debate terribly. So now he's got to do something. He's got to focus. And I guess the Zetas are in favor of Obama being reelected. I mean, they've said over and over he's going to be reelected. I don't know what else they, you know, do or don't do to support him. But the thing is that evidently they've held off until after the election, assuming that he will be elected and then he will announce it. So all I can say is the Zetas said there was a 93% chance, and I agreed that that was very likely. That sounded true to me. I felt that that was the truth. And so I started saying it too, and people have attacked me mercilessly. Well, you know, it didn't happen. You're wrong. This shows exactly what's wrong with channeled information and telepathy and psychic, and all the things get lumped into one. But if you look at the statement, the original statement was there was a 93% chance. So it's not like, you know, somebody can just push a button and make the president do this. The odds are that he has to do it, and I'm giving you the reasons why. First of all, he's been told by the Council of Worlds he has to. Second of all, logic requires it. Third of all, events are going to supersede everything. Politics, religion, everything. Because when people look up and they finally realize, "Oh my God, I'm in danger of losing my life," there's going to be a cold chill go down their spine as they as it sinks in, like, what is the meaning of life? What am I working on or not working on? And many people have asked me, they go, you're a really bright guy. Why didn't you go to work for Goldman Sachs? You know, you'd probably be a billionaire by now. But my answer has always been, I'm working on stuff that I can take with me to my next lifetime. And I'm trying to share information with you, which you have an absolute right to not believe. And listen, when this comes out, Kevin, there are going to be people who say, I still don't believe it, even if the president says it. And then there's people who are just going to pull up a chair, light a cigar, and sit there facing the ocean and wait to be swept away. So,
yeah, front row seat for the apocalypse.
I can understand, you know, that there's going to be all these people, because everybody has freedom of choice. That's the beauty of life on Earth, is you get this total mix. Anybody can do what they want. So I realize that I'm speaking to a very small audience that will believe me, but at least everyone else can hear that I said it, and they can watch events unfold. So I don't have control over the president. I can't guarantee that he is going to announce it. But let me tell you, in my opinion, after I go out the door and I easily take pictures of Planet X, how can he not? I mean, what?
Well, see, that's what I was saying earlier. Let's assume that everything that you've told us is spot on. And let me say to our audience, especially those who are new listeners, Gordon and I are friends, and I have no reason to think Gordon is prevaricating. He's not. He's telling you what he absolutely thinks is the truth. So when I say let's assume that everything you've said is spot on, it doesn't imply that I doubt your integrity or the veracity of you telling us this. I'm just saying that there are, as you say, there are people that buy it, there are people that don't. But let's, folks, for the moment, assume it's all spot on. The problem is that everything you're saying about how can he not make an announcement is, if everything that you've said is spot on, then it's reasonable and rational to make an announcement. And the problem is, he's a politician. Reasonable and rational don't mean the same thing to those guys. We have to take a break, and we'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you joining us just now, in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're delighted you are here. And my sympathy to you, sincere sympathy, for whatever kept you away from the first hour. And my sincere hopes and wishes you never suffer that tragedy again. We're talking this evening with Gordon Giannotto, and he's discussing with us really some very tough questions that I'm asking related to this. It all stems from the prediction that Obama was going to make a disclosure announcement about Planet X at the UN, and Gordon has pointed out that the prediction was there was a 93% chance. I'm asking some pretty tough questions, and he is answering them. Gordon, first, just, you and I have talked about this, but for the audience, does it ruffle your feathers that I'm not a believer?
No, not at all. You know, talking to you, I mean, you're not an opponent, you're just not a believer, but all of this just sharpens my pencil, I guess you could say.
Well, and I appreciate you fielding the questions and answering them. Stating that I'm not a believer is not the same thing as stating that I am a disbeliever.
Exactly.
Disbelief, folks, is faith on the negative end of the spectrum, just as belief is faith on the positive end. So to whatever degree you disbelieve, you are exercising faith to that degree on the negative end. To whatever end, to whatever degree you say that you believe, then you're exercising faith on the positive end. I exercise no faith on either end of that spectrum. And what I say is, I either know or I don't know. And this is why I ask questions, so that I can know.
Well, I'd like to say a few things, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, as you pointed out before, I am very well trained as a lawyer. I have been a trial attorney. I've been in many excruciating, I'll say, debates and situations verbally. And as you pointed out before, there is such a thing as circumstantial evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And in my defense, I would like to remind everyone that I had pointed out on my very first show that I was on with you that I discovered on my own, without a $5 million laboratory, that gravity pushes and not pull. And, of course, that's a shock, because who hasn't been trained for the last 400 years that gravity pulls? And so what is this guy who's a lawyer saying that gravity pushes? But since I first was on your show, there are some very interesting things that have happened. And one of them, I think I've mentioned this before, was that a black hole was discovered spitting out two blue stars. And it was at a press conference where this was announced, and a reporter asked, are there any danger of these stars hitting the Earth? And the NASA astronomer spokesman said, oh, of course not. They're going off in some other direction, and yourself, I don't know.
Well, it could be, yeah, it could be in the translation. Okay, I want to open up the telephone line and invite our audience to join us. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number is 623.
You had Dr. Courtney Brown on your show, and he talked about his global warming remote viewing experiment.
Mm-hmm.
He looked ahead to June 1st of 2013, and it seemed like there had already been worldwide tidal waves and a fall of rocks, and that all the coastal cities were abandoned and stragglers were heading inland.
Yeah.
And of course, the Zetas had said that pole shift will only occur on one of the magnetic trimesters, which I don't understand why that's so, but those three are August 1st, December 1st, and April 1st. Now, my wife had a dream where she's always having dreams of the tidal waves, the 600-foot tidal waves around the world. And she had a dream where she saw the tidal wave coming in, and it was pushing ice flows ahead of it. Now, in August, there's no ice. December 1st, ice is just beginning to form. April 1st, the ice is already there, and it's about to melt and break up. So, to me, that places the date of pole shift as April 1st. Now, I don't know that it's April 1st of 2013, but I'm thinking, if the president's about to announce it, and I can take pictures of it any clear day, of which I just said I have very few, but if I can take a picture of it any clear day, then the odds of it happening very soon are very good. Therefore, I'm going to say, and even though the Zetas haven't said, that you should be ready for this to happen on April 1st of 2013. And I'll tell you this, if you think that's funny, let me just emphasize, if you're ready for it on April 1st...
You need to know, too, we do have a caller on hold. Go ahead.
Okay, if you are ready for it on April 1st of 2013, you're damn well going to be ready for it on April 1st of 2014.
Yeah, that's true. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jerome.
Jerome, hi. You call every time I talk, don't you?
I always look forward to hearing you, too. I kind of consider myself, like Kevin, a friend of yours. And
thank you, Jerome.
A little skeptical, though. But I think if you need any validation at all, it'll be if you're able to view Planet X right now using Wilder's map, I'm sure Kevin could go outside in the sun and view the same results.
Exactly.
But I'm a vampire. I never get out in the sun.
Well, you are pretty white.
Yeah, glow-in-the-dark fluorescent white.
Well, how about you, Jerome? Why don't you go take a picture of it?
You know what? I'm kind of afraid. I always hate to look up in the sky at the sun. I mean, I even
like, nobody should do that. That's why I said at number 12 welders, you can, they have the 14 is the highest number. You can get 12, 13, 14. I got a 12, but you can get a any one of those three. You can hold that up and look right at the disk of the sun.
I took a welder's course one time just for the heck of it, and I caught myself on fire.
Well, we all know our own limitations, right, Jerome?
All right, Jerome, you have another question or comment?
Sure. Real fast, I was surprised that President Obama going to Indonesia, and why do you think the Zetas want him to win the election? And I know we're coming up towards a break, and I'll leave you, I'll listen off air, okay?
All right, go ahead. Okay, thanks.
Well, they say he's a star child, and they also say that Ahmadinejad and Putin are star children, and there are huge forces of selfishness behind the scenes, and if these people weren't leaders now, we would have already gone to war. So, you know, I'm not going to take sides. My opinion is we elected him. I'm just hoping for the best.
All right. 623-444-5889. If you have a question or a comment. And we have a flash message. This is from Mark in New Zealand. He says, hello, Kevin. Your guest has stated that Nibiru can be seen at the 5 o'clock position from the northern hemisphere and appears at the 10 o'clock position when viewed from the southern hemisphere. What a load of BS. Okay, how is it possible that if Nibiru is physically below the ecliptic viewed from the northern hemisphere, then it magically bounces up to be
the
above
Second
the
Amendment
ecliptic
survived in the Supreme
when
Court
viewed from
by
the southern
just
hemisphere.
One
this
vote.
Is physically cannot... impossible.
Oh, dear. Okay. Oh, dear. Dear, 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 dear. My goodness. Well, I guess he doesn't realize he's upside down.
Well, doesn't, I mean, up still looks like up. Even if you're at the bottom of the earth.
Yeah, and that's why it's at the 10 o'clock position. It's still there. It's just the other side of the sun. Oh, dear. You know, it just shows the failure of today's education that people don't understand. Look, I get up in the morning and the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, okay?
Yeah.
And all day long, it's in the south. Now, is he going to tell me that when he gets up in the morning all day long, the sun is in the south? No, it's in the north. Come on, wake up. What kind of a question is this? Oh, my God.
Well, it's a fair question if you don't know.
Yeah, if you don't know.
Oh, all right, caller, are you willing to hang on through the break?
Sure, Kev.
All right. We have to step away for a break here, and we'll be gone for a couple of minutes. And Mark in New Zealand, thank you for the question. And there's a lot more there. Let's see. Okay. Yeah, I think that pretty much gets the core of it. So,
Kevin, I just want you to know I will answer all questions. I'm not afraid of any of them. So,
okay, good enough. All right, we have to step away for a break, folks, and we'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This is Kevin Smith. My guest is Gordon Giannotto on the telephone, a caller on hold. So let's go to the telephone lines. And caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hello, Terry.
Hi. I have a little problem with Planet X or Nibiru. You had Marshall on a few days back.
Yeah.
and this gentleman, and, you know, they all state, you know, that it's out there and it's coming. But I have a hard time believing that. I know Marshall said that there's a lot of astrometers that came up dead, but I think a lot of them would be smart enough to cover their tracks and, you know, write a memoirs or whatever and put it to people who would release it if something happened to them. And they could come out, you know, and state this, unless they're, you know, don't want to be bearers of bad news and see this coming. But yet, I would think, you know, somebody in the world, you know, even other countries that's not beholden to us.
But they are.
Pardon me?
They are. There is an international organization called the International Astronomical Union. And this International Astronomical Union, all professional astronomers have to be, in order to be a professional astronomer, part of it is you're part of this International Astronomical Union. Now, the reason is that all observatories are part of that. They're members of that. Now, the single biggest funding source for the International Astronomical Union is the National Science Foundation of the United States of America. And the International Astronomical Union, IAU, is located in the United States. In 1979, I did programs about this. If an astronomer discovers a planet, a comet, or whatever, that is not released, so that information is not released by that astronomer. It's released by the International Astronomical Telegram Bureau, which is part of the IAU. The IAU determines whether that's going to be released by them or not. And in 1979, and this is from their own annual report, I think it was 79. Don't hold me to that date. It was 1970-something. I think it was 79. There were several planets discovered in this solar system. And according to their own report, they decided to suppress that information. And that's the word they used.
Okay, yeah, but if I'm an astronomical, and yeah, okay, so I'm beholden to these people, but yet if I feel that they are holding something back from the people, I'm going to break away, you know, whether I'm going to lose my funding or not, if something in this caliber is coming our way.
What if you're going to lose your family?
I can warn the people, and I can bring to the world, you know, governments to task why they are not doing anything about this.
And what if you're, what if it's not the funding? What if you're going to lose your family? They're going to kill your kids. Are they going to kill your wife? Are they going to kill your mom, your dad? And they let you know that.
Right, but I would be well aware of that, and I would spirit all these people away.
You can't. There's not any place you can
hide.
There's no place to hide.
And protect them, you know, with documentation, you know, and stating, you know, that these, you know, there, you know, if anything happens to my family, so-and-so, you know, is most likely responsible for it.
Yeah, but you can't. Know, there's no place to hide, Terry.
Information that's detrimental to the whole world.
Terry, there is no place you can hide. If you decide right now that you're going to disappear and nobody's ever going to find you again, I guarantee you I can find you. anywhere on this planet.
To the best of my ability, you know, and I would hire people to, you know, with, you know, guns, you know, and...
Do you have any idea what that costs?
Bodyguards and, you know, and protect them, safe rooms, whatever.
Terry, take a breath, okay? It's not possible.
Kevin is entirely right, and there is, it's you and whose fortune is going to provide this. You know, you should have been an astronomer yourself, but the thing is, if you read the book Forbidden Archaeology by Michael Cremo, he lays it out perfectly about why all these interesting archaeological discoveries get covered up. You lose tenure, you lose funding, you lose professional respect. It's over. So if somebody's going to make that kind of announcement, they're risking everything they consider valuable. And Kevin is entirely right. And nobody knows more about this than Kevin because he worked for the International Police. I'm telling you, Terry, there is no escaping this. You either come out and that's it for you or your family or everything you hold precious, as Kevin puts it, or you don't come out with it. And that's what's been happening, is people don't come out with it. And if they plan to and they start talking about it, something happens to them.
Well, if I'm an upright, caring person of the world, sacrifices have to be made. And
would you sacrifice your son, your daughter?
If a handful of people die in the efforts of saving billions of people, you know, you got to make that choice.
Look, philosophically, I can agree with what you're saying. However, would you personally make a decision to sacrifice your son, your daughter, just so you could tell the world about something they can't change anyway?
Well, if they're going to die anyways, you know, people go to war, you know, and people...
Now, answer the question. Would you sacrifice your family?
Lose their kids every day in war.
Answer the question. Would you sacrifice your kids just so you could make the announcement to the world about something the world cannot change anyway?
If I believe that if the governments would move and certain things would be put in place and to save millions of lives, getting people off the coast, et cetera, yes, I would.
You're a good man. You're a good man.
Well,
but
I want to tell you, Terry, that I have I'm friends with some, perhaps some of the most famous astrophysicists and astronomers on planet Earth, and I'm not going to give their names, and I guess after this conversation you understand why. And I get emails from these people all the time telling me that I should never stop what I'm doing, and that I'm doing a great service for humanity, and that I'm far too modest, and if I don't start speaking up for myself more, they're going to start writing my press releases. So I have a lot of support from that kind of person. And don't forget, Kevin's had William Conrad Zijderveld on the show, and he is a very well-known and accomplished amateur astronomer, and he said he's been taking pictures of Planet X. So, you know, there are people out there, but, you know, I don't have a professional position to lose, and I remember other lifetimes like you remember days last week. So I'm not afraid to die, and I'm going to say the truth whether anybody wants to hear it or not. And if that ends up that's a danger for me, then I can accept it. But the thing is I've always done that. I've done that from day one, and I'm an independent thinker. And if somebody tells me I have to think a certain way, I automatically want to do the exact opposite because I'm just a contrarian at heart. So I am an independent thinker, and I'm telling you, based on everything I know, this is what's going to happen. And you can believe it or not. And, you know, if you're waiting for somebody to come from Harvard with a piece of paper and hand it to you and say, yeah, this is, Planet X is real and everything Gordon said is true, well, fine, be that way. I don't care. But you understand.
Well, I am. I don't know Harvard. I want Oxford, man.
Okay.
But I'm talking about, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, out there, you know, who say this stuff, but they don't have the credentials and the people who know them you know, behind them that would take them seriously. You know, a lot of these people and people listen to you,
but
you know, that you're a doomsday person, you know, like Marshall or whatever.
But Galileo had no
seriously.
Galileo had no credentials, but he was right.
Yeah, but you know how many what good did it do? How many people believed him? You know,
He told the truth, and some people believed it, but went silent because he got put under house arrest and threatened with death. Galileo was right, but he didn't have credentials. The people who had the credentials put him under house arrest. So, you know, on the one hand, I'm not a believer or a disbeliever. On the other hand, I'm very much a realist about how this stuff works politically, the way it works. And I don't mean government politics. Well, it kind of gets into that. But I'm talking about the way the funding is at risk, your career is at risk, your life is at risk, your family is at risk. And the only people who will talk about it are people on the edge. Some have credentials, some don't, but the ones with the big credentials, they're the ones who are threatening those who talk. So the credentials mean really zip.
Yeah, well, I don't know, just think, you know, honest people in NASA, somebody, you know, would, you know, I mean, this would get out in mainstream, you know, with, you know, like that guy in Sweden or Switzerland that talked about they had an alien interview. You know, he was high up in his space agency. I mean,
look,
come forward.
Mainstream told you. Mainstream told Terry, take a breath. Mainstream told you that the Serbs were massacring Albanians in Kosovo. Mainstream told you there were mass graves all over Kosovo. And that was an absolute bold-faced damn lie. But they told it to you to get you hot and bothered and ready to support military action in Kosovo.
Well, we've been lied about.
Well, mainstream's never going to tell you the truth.
Forever.
Mainstream's never going to tell you the truth. If they're talking, they're lying.
Right. That's what I'm talking about, individuals, you know, with credentials.
Well, people with credentials are not going to do it. They are the ones who threaten.
Worried about their, you know,
people with the credentials, gender. Terry, are the ones who are threatening others with credentials who want to talk.
Because they're rocking the status quo, and they're not going to allow that to happen. People have worked their whole lives to achieve a certain status and power, and they're not going to risk it. I mean, look at the French astronaut, Claudette. There's only one female French astronaut. Her name was Claudette. She was known as Claudie. There was a French astronaut press conference, and
we have to take
a
break.
Discussion, and she grabbed the microphone and said, "The world has to be warned. People have to be told." And guards flattened her on the floor. They dragged her out of the room. And the next day, there was a press conference that unfortunately.
All right. We have to take a break. Sorry about that. We'll be back. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This is Kevin Smith, my guest, Gordon Giannotto, and we are having quite a lively discussion. I want to thank Terry for the call. Terry, we got cut off by the break. I've gotten a flash message from New Zealand again, and if we have time, I will read that. But in case we don't have time, because it's from the same person, and we want to give everybody a shot. Let me just answer this to our guest over in our listener in New Zealand. You mentioned that the constellations are all in the same positions or in relative positions to where you are and so forth. But remember, the constellations you see in New Zealand are not the same constellations we see in North America. You have a set, some of them are, but you have a whole set of constellations that you can see that we never see. And one of the most famous, the Southern Cross. And We don't see that here, because we would have to look through the earth to see it because of its position in the sky. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, well, I am one who is somewhat awake, alert, and oriented, I think most of the time anyway, to space, time, and all that lies in between. And, my experience has taught me that in this world we live within a psychopathic control grid. There are so many lies that are draped over us by the people who are in control, that the people who rise to positions of power within that control grid have to be pretty thoroughly vetted as psychopathic liars, and those include the people who are in control of all the so-called nations.